everybody, and welcome to another episode of the WizWit Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Drew, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts, well, just the one, Kush.
Do you know they have an all-pink Starburst pack?
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. We do have some guests. We'll get to them in a second. Unfortunately, Devin couldn't be with us this week, but for good reasons, he had a little baby boy, so good for him. Congratulations to Devin and his wife. Although if you paid attention to the pod Twitter, we think Grady has some explaining to do. But as I mentioned, we do have some guests with us to kind of fill the void with us. Our guest from last week, Dalt, is back.
What's up, guys?
Hey. And a guest we've had on before, Pauly, making a comeback.
Woo!
And the air horn is our fifth guest, as as it has made a triumphant, well, I guess it's not a return, it's just, it's here. It's a debut. Triumphant debut.
Formal name, Horny.
The formal name is the Horn. The Hornster. The Horn Dog. So, since we've last been together, there's been an off season, guys. And it was something. When we were recording last, that was the true betrayed. So it's been a bit since we've been together. So boys, I want to talk about what the Flyers did. And in particular, I want to talk about why those moves were upgrades. And if we don't pay attention to the rest of the division, everything works out fine, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just don't pay attention to the rest of the league. The Flyers are the best team.
Exactly.
When you say upgrades, you went from like a C minus to a C plus. Is that what you're saying?
An upgrade's an upgrade, dog.
No, a C minus to a C.
Ah, C
plus.
Yeah, debatably.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't remember what we talked about on the last pod because it's been a little while, but we did trade for the rights of Kevin Hayes, and then we would later sign Kevin Hayes to a 7-year, $7.142 million contract. Now, we have our 2C, which is great. However, that is a large contract for a man who is what was his totals? Like 50-something points?
It was no more than like 50. I think it was 56, maybe 58. I don't know for sure. But it was in the 50s. It did not peak 60.
Peak 50. 49 was his most points, and that was in 2016-17 with the Rangers.
Exactly.
Of course, that was under Alain Vigneault, though.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, no. He had 50 now, some yeah, last he year. He had 55 last year. Yeah. See, the problem is that Wonder, that Cap Friendly listed as with the Rangers, he had 42 points, and then with the Jets, he had 13. So, okay, he had 55 points. I lied. Don't listen to me. So, thoughts on that other than filling the need of a 2C? I want to talk specifically about the contract.
I think it'll be fine for the next couple years because you have a lot of young guys. I mean, yes, a couple of them still need to be re-signed. But you have, you know, your goalie on a super cheap contract because he still has 2 years left on that, right?
Yep.
You burn through the first one.
You do have to sign Patrick next year.
Yeah, and you could still get those players on relatively cheaper deals, depending, you know, on how well Patrick does this year, compared to what they'd get as a UFA. But, I mean, I think this deal will be fine for like the next 2 or 3 years. I think after that's where it starts to get a little bit messy.
Yeah.
That's when you have to start making bigger moves, losing some bigger pieces because you lock down Hayes for 7 years with a modified no trade clause.
That's correct.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird contract. I like the move because it gets us an upgrade at a position we needed an upgrade, but it could hurt us in a couple years.
Yeah, it's a 12-team no trade list. And then it's a full no movement clause for the first 3 years of the contract, and then it's a modified no trade clause for the rest.
From what I understand, he worked that in there. I don't know if the modified protects you from going in the expansion draft. Maybe that's why they did the full.
I don't know.
I'm not too sure about how that works, but I'd have to assume maybe that's why they did the full for the first 3 years.
Maybe. I don't know. Don't know for sure. What are you other two guys? What are your thoughts?
Paul, you can go first.
I mean, I like Kevin Hayes, but
I'm not sure about the contract yet because they say he's barely gotten 20 goals in a year. And yeah, I want a scorer, and that's something the Flyers need. But I guess you're asking about the contract. I you guys said, you know, down the line, it might not be a big issue until the ass end of his years when we got to sign all these young guys. But I mean, I'm all for it now.
Well,
let's see what he's got and see how he does first 2 or 3 years, and then there might be a market for him after. I don't know.
I think the biggest thing is, like, he may not be worth that money now, but he could be in year 2, 3, 4, 5. He could be worth that money this year coming up.
Way is this a Sean Couturier signing. You know, no. He is well above his pay grade. I rue the day that we have to re-sign him.
What, yeah. Couturier? I think he's only got, what, 2 years left? Maybe three?
Three, I think.
Yeah, that's a scary contract.
Yeah.
But thank God we have Coots for, you know,
yeah, he signed through
the next 3 years.
He signed through 2021, 2022. So.
Yeah, so it's coming
same
up.
With Claude Giroux. We had to actually sign them both the same year.
I feel like Claude Giroux you could probably get cheaper if they do re-sign him because
he'll be 34 at that time.
Yeah. Or, I guess since the cap's going up, you could probably get him if he's still producing for around the same that he is now. Wouldn't see him taking more money than he's making now.
If there's no lockout. Dalt,
true.
Your thoughts?
I don't know. I understand you have to spend money for a goal scorer, which even points. I mean, I get it, but I don't know. It's not the move everybody really wanted them to make, but.
Well, speak for yourself.
They made a move. Like,
yeah, I think that's
compare it to the rest of the Metros.
We're not talking about them yet.
I'm just saying, when you compare it,
we're not talking.
We're not really. We're not there.
We're putting our blinders on. Right,
if you don't compare it, then the Flyers are amazing because you can't compare them to any other teams
now. just looking at the moves in a little shelter right now.
Is our team upgraded with Kevin Hayes? Yes, definitely. Like, yes.
Yes, that's absolutely.
He was the best 2C to get on the market, and the Flyers went out and got him.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Yeah. $7 million a year, 7.1 a year, a little high, but like you guys are saying, though, I don't think it's really going to come back and bite you that hard.
I don't think James Van Riemsdyk's worth $7 million a year, yet here he is.
God, no. I'm actually looking at that right now. It's
So, yeah.
Well, that's what you have. You have two guys that are making more, and both were free. Well, you know, one was a restricted free agent. Or no, was Kevin Hayes coming up on the UFA?
He was an RFA.
He was going to be UFA.
Oh, yeah. No, he was. He's 27. He was going to be UFA. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you had him that was, you know, basically a UFA. And you had JVR, which was a UFA. You do have to pay for unrestricted free agents. You do have to shell out more money.
Yeah.
But it's how you manage that. And Kevin Hayes, I mean, will he be worth seven throughout his entire contract?
He's got the potential.
Maybe not, but if he can be a guy that's worth 5.5 to 6 mil, I don't care about paying the extra mil. I mean, I'd rather use that extra money on a guy like Hayes than pay somebody like Dale Weiss. Pay Yuri Lateera.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather be using that money for a actual good hockey player, even if it's kind of an overpayment, than two bad ones.
Also, we're only overpaying, I think, for the next maybe 2 years. Salary cap goes up every year. There's definitely going to be...
Contracts are on the rise.
Yeah, contracts are hugely on the rise. So I think we're complaining and moaning right now that stuff... It seems like a high number, $7
million. Well, if you do look at, like, the other big signings, like, everybody's making at least $7 million. Like, the really big guys.
Yeah. Yeah, Podolsky, Duchesne, Bob.
Panarin.
You have to gauge the situation too. Like, I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but some of these other guys that got signed for maybe a round or a little bit more than Hayes got signed, they've all had different situations as to why they signed that much with those teams.
And we're gonna talk about that specifically with Duchesne because I do have like very important things to say about that. But I think we covered Kevin Hayes pretty well. best addition the Flyers could have made for the 2C. Maybe an overpayment, maybe not. Only time will tell. I think we talked about this trade, but we're going to bring it up again. Gudas to Washington for Matt Niskanen.
Yeah, can we talk about it?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Do we need to?
I mean, it's an upgrade over Andy McDonald.
Is sure. It worth 5.7, though?
It's only 2 years.
I mean, the term, I mean, that's fine. I mean,
it's 2 years. It's not.
It's two, not the term is was never what I was concerned about with getting Niskanen or Braun or whatever. It was more of the fact that do they make this team a significantly better team? I don't think so. I think they make them a slightly better team. And I think that's probably great.
I think over the season, Matt Niskanen will be a better. Let me put it this way. As a package, Niskanen and Braun will be a better package over McDonald and Gudas.
Yeah, I'm sure that's – you're right. But
– like, come on.
But you're also you're getting better goaltending this year, which is great. So, yeah, you're getting a slightly better team with a better netminder. So, realistically, the Flyers should
be
have a better season. Yeah, they should be at least a wild card. We say this every year, but they should be a wild card team.
And before, because we've already...
History repeats itself. They've, for the past 7 years, they've been out the first round or don't make the playoffs for the past 7 years. So,
you know what? I actually looked this up the other day, but the last time the Flyers were in second place in the Metro, I forget the exact year, but I think it was like 2005. They've had a year after that they came in first, but it was 1 year after that they came in first. They never came in second since 2005, and then after that it's either third... wild card or completely miss. So they've been middling for a while.
Yeah.
I feel like 2005 is a little too long ago, but I'm going to keep looking at that. You guys
let me go back through my tweets, cuz I did look this up when I tweeted it to Andy, cuz he actually asked that question, and I looked it up and I have
cuz I already have the 0506.
Well, no, we're gonna let you and Polly talk about Matt Niskanen while we look this up.
It was 05. It was 05-06.
That's yeah.
It was the last time they finished second.
Yep. Devils finished first.
Nice.
So Matt Niskanen, nothing wrong with
2010-2011. Oh. They finished first in the division.
I know they finished first once after that, but he specifically asked about second place. They finished first once after that, and then other than that, they've been third wild card or missed the playoffs every year.
NHL.com just broke for me. Okay, Polly, go.
So I guess Matt Niskanen.
Yeah, him.
He's a good leader for young guys, they're saying. And one thing that it stuck out to me is his term. He's got 2 years left. If he doesn't work out, that's kind of freed up cap, and that's good timing for Carter Hart. Not saying he's going to get 5.75 or whatever Niskanen's is, but at least that's money freed up at the same time that Carter Hart is due for contract.
Yeah, I'll say that at least with these moves, you are, you know, we were talking earlier about Hayes getting more money, and you know, maybe in 2-3 years, you're kind of worried about. Okay.
Yeah, you're gonna be a little handcuffed.
You'll be a little handcuffed. You'll have that money coming off, which is good. But yeah, I mean, the Niskanen thing. The thing that I like that people have said about him is that he is a good leader. And I hate when people say that about bad players, but I like it when people say it about good players. He's obviously he's 34. So he's been in the league for a while. And I do think he's a guy that if I want, you know, the younger guys looking up to somebody, somebody like Matt Niskanen who's been in the league for a while and he's actually been good in the league versus somebody like McDonald who has been terrible and his only redeemable trait is that he's a nice guy.
I don't think he earned the title traffic cone in his tenure in Washington, so that's a plus.
That is a plus.
Although it's less likely to be used elsewhere because they don't use orange jerseys. So
that's fair.
Although, Paul, you're a Capitals fan. Your time since you've moved to Washington to become a Capitals fan. How much of him did you see down in Washington? He's not actually a Capitals fan, guys. We just like to bust his ball since he moved down to Virginia.
We just need to ask Mr. Horn this question.
Mr. Horn?
Horny?
Hmm?
Horny.
Horn!
Ah, you ruined it. All right.
All right. All right. All right.
So Justin Braun. I mean, Justin Braun.
Yeah.
There he is. Yeah, so we acquired Justin Braun from San Jose for a second and a third pick in two separate year drafts. I don't fucking care about them. Yeah, Justin Braun, probably an overpayment in the trade.
Yeah, that's the thing that bothered me.
But it is an upgrade over Andrew McDonald.
Yeah, that's the thing that's bothered me is that they overpaid for somebody like Braun.
Yeah, they overpaid for a third pairing.
Yeah, and I get wanting to trade draft picks. I'm in that boat. I'm at this point, like, we've drafted for so long, I'm ready to trade draft picks for good players. That doesn't necessarily mean start throwing away draft picks. Start overpaying, like, oh, we need to get Justin Braun for whatever reason. Take a second and a third because no one else is going to pay that for him.
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to give away draft picks, I want it to be for better players at this point, and I don't mind trading draft picks. I just don't want to hand them out like they're pink Starburst.
You just don't want to trade your second and third for Andrew McDonald's is what you're saying.
Exactly.
But this is better than Andrew McDonald, so...
I won't say arguably, but not, he's better than McDonald, but not by a whole lot.
Right, you're not. The point is, it doesn't matter. Like, forget about Braun himself. You don't want to pay a second or a third for a third pairing defenseman.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we all kind of agree on that. I don't think really need to think we need to talk about him. Our side notes to both those moves, by the way, were and then the slash trade that the Flyers made this offseason, other than picks for picks and stuff like that, because they did make. A couple pick trades at the draft and stuff like that. Ryan Hartman, the rights to Ryan Hartman to Dallas for Pitlick. Yeah, exactly. Pitlick. Who?
If we're gonna talk about that move, I mean it. Pitlick is definitely not like Hartman could have potentially filled your third line winger scenario, like switch between third and fourth. I don't think Pitlick can do that. Although I don't know, he did play. He is more of a centerman, and I guess they're going to try to use him as wing at this point. Yeah, but it's like you said, it's really a minor cap move to save us some cap space. I was kind of liking Ryan Hartman, but it's
did
not like
he
was.
I forget. Did he sign back with Dallas or did he go elsewhere?
No, he went to Minnesota.
Minnesota. Thank you. I had to find them. Yeah. I had to find. I forgot to put down this thing because he got overpaid like crazy.
Yeah, he did. He got like 2.3 something.
No,
I
he
think.
Got over three. Pretty sure.
Did he?
Yeah.
He
Ryan
got over
Hartman.
Three. It's definitely an overpayment.
But... Oh no, I'm sorry. That's a total contract. 3.8 was his total contract. Caps was 1.9.
Gotcha.
2 years in Minnesota.
Actually, that's not bad.
You know what I think the worst part of this trade is? We traded for a guy whose name is Pitlick.
What is he making? Like a mil? So you save 900,000.
Yeah, well, you save.
I remember somebody, one of the Twitter guys, I think it was Charlie O'Connor, he kind of broke it down as a weird move because it didn't end up saving them that much money. Or no, it wasn't this trade, it was the buyout of, who's that defense? Schlemko, David Schlemko.
David Schlemko. Yeah.
They bought him out and they could have just buried him in the AHL and they're buying him out to save, it's like, 300k this year, but the next year you have to pay a cap hit.
Well, no, this year they're paying him $900,000 this year and $600,000 next year. That's how
yeah, but if you buried him in the, but if you buried him in the AHL, you'd only be paying like I think it was like
1.2.
Yeah, and then that's it. So you're only paying 300k more this year.
I who knows? It could have been a roster.
It's a weird move.
It could have been a roster spot thing, though. It could have been a roster spot thing.
They got plenty of roster spots, though.
Well, AHL roster spot.
Maybe, but I don't know. It was just
well,
a weird
considering
move.
What else they did signing wise. But we'll get to the signing wise. What who made things yellow in the dock? Why you gotta be that way? stop messing with the dock while we're doing this.
Not be able to see that.
Yeah, well, we're going to. All right, so the signings / re-signings. We already talked about Kevin Hayes. Re-signed Travis Sanheim for 2 years, 3.25 AAV. Good term, good year. It's a bridge deal, classic bridge deal. We'll see what happens with that.
Praying for a long-term contract with him.
Yeah.
Absolutely praying, but
I really
he wants
that
to,
for 3 years.
he wants to bet on himself, and that's fine. And the, you know,
yeah, that's
at that rate. That's a good. It's a good bridge deal.
Yep. Then the one that was yellowed out in my Google Doc is Brian Elliott, 1 year, $2 million. It's not a bad contract. Who cares?
It's not. It's 1 year, but I heard that they wanted to keep Talbot, but Talbot still wanted to be like a starter, which I mean he's not, but he wants to be.
Didn't
so
he
like
just
good
sign
luck.
With Calgary?
He did sign. I think he signed in Calgary now. Yeah. Like he's their starting goaltender now. So he
they
got
have Rittich.
I don't know.
And then we also signed.
Maybe they'll do like a 1A, 1B.
Yeah. And then we signed a bunch of like borderline AHL players, Tyler Watherspoon, Andy Walensky, Nate Prosser. I'm going to skip that guy.
You're literally just making up names.
Kyle Kriskulo, Chris Bigra, Andy Andrioff, Jean-Francois Berube. And then this guy I wanted to talk about.
Right?
Yeah, he is. This guy I want to talk about for a second, Curtis Gabriel, who is most famous for injuring Nolan Patrick last season. So, yeah, glad we got him.
Can't wait till
he's
there.
On the same team. You can't injure your same player.
Tell that to Radko Gudas. Tell that to Radko Gudas.
That's why we got rid of him.
And then you get one back.
Wait till December when he gets caught up because somebody gets injured.
Now, if you guys out there have listened to our previous podcast, which you probably haven't, and you listened to our Armchair GM, you would have noticed that there are a couple players that we didn't talk about that should have been re-signed by now that haven't. The biggest of the four is Provorov, followed by Travis Konecny, Scott Laughton, and Nick Aubé-Kubel. Why haven't they got a deal yet?
I think Provorov probably wants more than he's worth. He's probably going over, trying to get over eight. You know, if he can get it, good for him. But I think Chuck obviously wants to keep that number in the sevens.
Yeah, no, that's nutty.
Travis Konecny, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to, I don't know,
maybe
he's trying to get long term and they're trying to do a bridge deal or vice versa. Neither of them qualify for arbitration, though, right?
No, they're too young. No. Lawton does.
Yeah, Lawton does, and he is going to arbitration.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Right now, we have 14.9 mil in cap.
I think they
we have enough cap to sign all four of these players. Cause
we can. And if we end up – if it comes down to it, yeah, and one of them has to go and it's Aubé-Kubel, I will not be upset. No. Like,
and the only reason why like I put Aubé-Kubel down there is because he is a guy that does have a potential – to play significant minutes later down the road, not this year, but later down the road as a forward for the Flyers. So that's why I put him in there. But yeah, hopefully the Flyers can figure something out with Provorov and we don't have a William Nylander case on our hands where he sits out for half the
season. Yeah, I'm going to be scared if he starts sitting out because then that's basic. Because you saw it with Nylander. Like he finally got up to speed like near the U. Tail like the very tail end of the season, and by then it was just too late.
If the Flyers don't have a deal for two of the four players by August, I'm gonna be worried.
Yeah,
I think they'll have a deal for Lawton once arbitration goes through, but I don't know when arbitration is. But
his is July 29th.
Say you have $6 million for those three players. Say Provorov gets eight, and you have $6 million left. You have TK Lawton.
You're gonna need to bridge. You're hoping Lawton is like $2 million.
Well, you got to figure Aubé-Kubel is going to sign to a two-way contract, so he's not going to count against that. So you're looking at TK and Lawton for $6 million.
Okay. It's doable.
And
it's just
I think just Lawton wants like $3-3.5 million, and the Flyers want to give him $2-2.5 million. And then with TK, I think he's just kind of in limbo now, where it's deciding what happens.
That's what scares me.
I think Provorov drives that one.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I think before even Scott Lawton goes to arbitration, I think they want to have Provorov signed so then they can figure out, okay, this is how much we can give Lawton.
Yep.
This is how much we can spare for TK. But yeah, Provorov is probably holding up the other two.
But it's in terms of Aubé-Kubel, like he's going to have a two-way deal. He's going to spend most of the season down in the AHL until there's like an injury and he needs to be called up or something like that. And then going to the draft, Flyers had a decent draft, believe it or not. They did trade down in the first round, and then they passed on Cole Caulfield because he's small and Philadelphia hates small players for some reason. Don't. Horny is now not the time. They did draft a defenseman, Cam York, and on the coverage They said his biggest weakness is his defensive ability, so that's great that we drafted a defenseman with poor defensive ability. And then in the second round, the Flyers got a really good steal, Bobby Brink. And the reason why he dropped is because his skating technique is weird. It's a little awkward. Both United States players, both American.
I've been reading up on Bobby Brink, and so you remember how we drafted Matthew Strom a little bit ago, and everybody loved every aspect of his game, but everybody agreed that his skating was really bad.
Yeah.
With Bobby Brink, nobody says his skating's bad. It's just awkward. Like you said, it's weird.
It's awkward.
But it works. It's just as weird.
Yeah. And I think that's scary to a lot of pro clubs.
That was the first pick of the night that I liked from the Flyers. I mean, granted, it was their second pick.
I don't hate Cam York. When you're looking for a scoring winger to put in your system, and there is the perfect scoring winger who plays a lot like this guy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, named Danny Briere.
Listen, just because that's your sweetheart player.
It is my sweetheart player.
Yeah. Hi. There's more than one of us that like. Actually, all three of the main pod guys love Danny Briere. So you can shut your mouth here and let me go and say what I have to say, you son of a bitch.
But Devin's not here, and I feel like Devin also hammered the point that we all of our young up and coming defensemen are the now like they're here. So we do need to rebuild that defensive core a little bit.
That's a fair point.
Get Devin's point in.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a fair point. And I understand the draft pick. I get it. It makes sense.
But
it grades out well.
But Cole Caulfield.
I want a scoring winger, a guy who selfishly shoots the puck like nobody's business.
And
have that guy on the board. Yes, it's a risky move. But any player that, I mean, besides your obvious like superstars, but really, any player that's worth, really anything is a risky pick, except for, you know, your top five picks.
Right.
Connor McDavid's or Austin Matthews. Giroux was a risk, and look what he turned into.
True. And believe me, I would have rather have gone for Caulfield, especially because I'm not against the defensive move. I get it. But to draft a guy like Drew said, who his biggest weakness is defense,
I don't want another Gostisbehere. Like, I love Gostisbehere, but I don't want another guy that you have to fucking groom into a defenseman who's already a defenseman.
You're right. I don't think you can have a team of Gostisbehere's, but this move kind of, I don't know, depending on how he turns out, you could say that maybe they're trying to plan on trading Ghost. And then maybe not now, but in a couple years, you know, you're trying to manage your contracts, and then, you know, you're looking at Ghost and you're like, oh, well, we have a guy in our system who plays like Ghost who's cheaper.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep that offensive defenseman in the system and just basically make it a player I guess they can rotate out.
I don't know. I'm still upset about him.
Especially the fact that he went to Montreal kind of sucks.
Yeah,
that's even worse that he went to Montreal.
I know. Well, now they get the revenge of Briere, I guess, or something like that. I don't know. Polly, any thoughts on the draft since me and Dalt kind of yelled at each other for a little bit?
No, not really. I mean, rub salt in the wound. We did pass over Caulfield twice.
True,
that's
we traded
what
down.
Me off. We traded down. He was still on the board, and I'm like, nah.
Cam York, that's our guy. All right, let's move on from that one trash fire into the next. Now, like I said, if you look at what the Flyers did in a small little microscopic thing, they did make upgrades. However, if you open it up to the whole picture and you look at the rest of the Metro, well, boys, things get a little rough, because we're gonna talk about three main teams. We're gonna talk about the Rangers, the Devils, and the Penguins here. The Rangers, of course, acquired Trouba from Winnipeg for a bag of pucks, and then they drafted Kaapo Kakko, second overall in the draft, which is really good. And then they did this thing; they signed this guy. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Artemi Panarin. I signed him for 7 years, 11.6 AAV.
Oh, he's a superstar rookie coming in this year.
Exactly,
right?
That one. Yeah,
he's gonna win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Real quick, just because Devin wrote this in here, he's got his take in here. He said, the Rangers are good, but it's not the end of the world. Their potential weakness is there, especially if the King starts playing old. King being, of course, Henrik Lundqvist. Yeah, I agree. They've done their job to kind of put him at a position where they could possibly win now if their defense plays well enough. I don't know if Trouba really solidifies their entire defensive core. One player usually does not do that. And if King can play to his ability, they can definitely make a run this year. But next year, the year after that, if King even makes a slip like this year, they have no goaltending. What's their guy? Georgiev.
Georgiev.
Like, he played decent this couple games, but you know, a couple games doesn't paint a whole picture. You know what I'm saying?
My thing with these moves is they might not paint a picture for them to win next year or even the year after. You know, I'm not even factoring in Henrik Lundqvist in anymore. Like, he could play outstanding this year, but I don't think that really takes the Rangers very far. But a team like this, you have a superstar winger. You have Trouba, who's pretty good, and now you just got drafted a guy who could have gone first overall because he's that good.
Yeah.
That's an attractive team to free agents now.
Yeah.
You can start replenishing those holes in free agency in, you know, next year, the year after, to the point where, okay, now you're 3-4 years down the line, now they're a scary team again.
They're gonna be it's all gonna happen all over, where the Flyers are gonna be like the bottom of the barrel team. Not the bottom of the barrel team, but the Flyers are gonna be just good enough to maybe make the playoffs, but the Rangers are gonna be a powerhouse.
That's why I'm kind of like, I like the idea that the Flyers had, where they, you know, they wanted to do a rebuild, they wanted to acquire draft picks and get good through the draft, and that's fine, but it's really irritating to see all these other teams get really good really fast after they were just ass last year.
Yeah.
And not even like you said really good really fast, but they're just making these – they're big, but they're very, like, thought-out strategic moves. Yeah.
And they're fun. Like, that's the other thing. Like, this method Flyers have gone on, hopefully it pays off, because if it doesn't, I will shoot myself.
Because
it is so boring. It's like watching paint dry.
Paul, I want to let you go, but I want to say something real quick.
Go ahead.
The biggest question for the Rangers isn't Panarin or Zibanejad or Trouba or even Lundqvist. It's their supporting cast. Because really, other than those couple players, they have Chris Kreider and an aging Kevin Shattenkirk.
They lost Hayes.
Yeah. They're a team like that are like seemingly making moves for the now and, of course, the future with, you know, their young player, like, Kakko and
all
that.
That's the thing. Like, you sign somebody like Panarin, you're making a move, yeah, for the now, but you're also making a move for 3-4 years down the road.
But the other thing, and again, Paul, I'm going to let you talk in a second. I know, I'm talking a lot. They still have $8 million in cap space, which means if they're a team that could make a run come deadline time, they can go get a rental. No problem, they can go get a rental. They got picks trade, too. All right, Paulie.
I was just going to say, when I see signings like this, like the Trouba, or I guess they didn't sign him yet, but they traded for him. They got Panarin. That's a roster spot that they did not want to bet on their own farm. They're betting on and they're paying their superstars. I'm trying to look at the positive side to it. You know, the Flyers didn't do that because we don't have 7 years of a potential first liner, second liner player. You know, I think they're still betting on our farm guys, our development team.
You know, Trouba still doesn't have a contract.
Yeah, he's going for arbitration.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll sign him, I feel
like. Yeah, they will, definitely.
Yeah. But, I mean, right now the Rangers don't scare me. They will in a couple years. And, yeah, like you were saying, Paulie, they're giving somebody like Panarin money that's obviously they're not betting on their own farm. But Panarin's young, and like I wouldn't – he's obviously not a prospect, but he's a young guy who is good now and will be good for the duration of that.
He's a difference maker for any team he's on.
And I get the Flyers like, okay, stand pat, do your draft method thing, whatever. But when you have guys like that on the market – and you're not even trying for them, like, that just sucks. Like, a guy like Panarin is somebody that I would mortgage a little bit of our future.
Yeah.
And I think it burns the worst because it was all Metropolitan. This was a whole free agency for the Metropolitan.
That's the biggest issue. Like, this wouldn't have been a huge deal if everything happened out west. It'd be like, wow, those guys are making moves.
And then, you know, we move on to the Devils, I guess, because, you know, they get Subban, they get I mean, you know, they draft Jack Hughes. They do get Wayne Simmons, but I'm not even focused on that. I'm just focused
on,
like, they got...
No, I want to talk about Simmons for a second.
We'll get to Simmons, because I'm on a roll right now. They get Subban. The Rangers get Panarin. These teams are getting fun players. It's like I said, I've been so bored watching Flyers hockey for years now. I want guys who are fun, are difference makers, and it has been a very long process, and it better pay off.
Yeah. So for the Devils, just to talk about quickly what they did, they traded for Subban from Nashville for two bags of pucks. They paid a little bit more than what the Rangers did for Trouba. They signed Wayne Simmons. Now I have to hate Wayne Simmons, and it makes me really sad.
Yeah. It makes me really sad because I have a Nashville Predators Simmons jersey that he signed.
Wow. I have a Simmons jersey from Nashville and the Flyers, so I will not be getting a Devils one.
Yeah, I don't think I have one
still.
I have a Subban Nashville shirt, too.
And then they also drafted Jack Hughes. Now, the thing about the Devils, they do have $20 million in cap right now. They have some arbitration players to go out, like, that they're dealing with. Now, next year, they have to sign Taylor Hall. Wayne Simmons was only signed to a one-year deal for $5 million. Nico Hischier needs to be signed next year. They have three other free agents forwards, and then Andy Green, the defenseman, who's 36, will probably either not be there or retire. Sami Vatanen needs to be resigned. He needs to be retired. Corey Schneider's only signed through 2021, 2022. And who knows how well he's going to play up until then. I don't think they're – to Devin's point, again, he put it in here. He said the Devils are still not good, even with their great offseason. This year is not their time. What worries him is 2021 through 2026. And they are kind of – they're doing it in a fun way what the Flyers did.
See, I – actually, because Devin said they don't worry him now, they worry him later. But I could see – I'm actually more worried about the Rangers in 21 through 26 because it seems like free agents just are attracted to the Rangers because it's New York. Who wants to go to freaking New Jersey? Like
– yeah, I don't know. That's
like 21 to 26, if they somehow build an attractive team and players want to go there – they could be a scary team. Absolutely.
Jack Hughes is going to be a big part of that, too.
Taylor Hall, Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier.
If they re-sign Hall, that significantly raises their chances of being a scary team.
That's three first overall picks.
Yeah, that's what
I – yeah, that's a deadly – if they can re-sign
Hall. Of course, now we've learned from experience the first overall picks, and a lot of them being on one team doesn't mean anything at Minton. But
I feel like I feel like this might be like an exception because I think at the end of the day, when all of these players, you know, by the time Hughes and by the time Hughes and who's the other one, Hischier reach their potential, Hall might be leaving his prime. But if you can get them right in the mix at the same time, it'll be so much different than when Edmonton had like Nail Yakupov. Because you actually have three good players in their prime. I think the worst one out of those three on the Devils right now might end up being Hischier, but he's already a pretty good player, and he's definitely proven that he's a lot better than a couple first overall picks.
Nail Yakupov.
Exactly. I always rooted for him in the worst way. I wanted to see him succeed, not as a first overall pick, but like when he signed with Colorado and he was like, you know, getting paid a mil, I'm like, I hope he like sticks in the league somehow and does okay as like a third line guy. Never did. He's garbage.
Yeah. It was rough.
I heard it was all his effort too. Like he just never really tried in this league. He was good enough to be like a second or third line guy, but he just got discouraged and then fell off. And it just kept happening. So then no team wanted him.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Heischer's that kind of player. I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, no. I think now Yakupov's your weird example that everybody will talk about forever.
So any other thoughts on the Devils?
Nope.
Not really. I was trying to look at Hischier and Patrick. You know, they were both, pick one and pick two.
Yeah.
Hischier's got a better point stack up. He had 50 points his first 2 years, and Patrick had 30 points his first 2 years. So I was wondering if they were going to have like or use each other as a contract chip.
They could.
Or a negotiating chip. You know.
They could. And Nico Heath here, like I said, if he ends up being the worst one of those three first overall picks that the Devils have, that's not bad at all. I see him being, if he doesn't live up to like his full prime, he'd be like a 50-point guy, which is fine.
Right. You pay him as a 50-point guy.
Exactly.
You no longer pay him as your first overall pick. Game-changing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're trying to build their names for themselves and try to...
But that's why I feel like... Now, again, it depends on how attractive they can make their team, but I feel like... I feel like they've had much more success in the draft because they've had higher picks. At least from getting superstar players or higher-end players. I feel like the Flyers have gotten a lot of higher-end players, but then they have a lot of players who people think are higher-end players, and they're really just average.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Devils don't scare me, and I agree with Devin. Devils don't scare me, Rangers don't scare me, and I like to think of
where we were
last year. You know,
yeah,
we had a
really bad
start, and we had a really good finish.
Yeah, coming into this season... You know, both teams, you're right, don't scare me. It's the future that scares me from both of them. The Rangers scare me more than the Devils in the future. But the Devils could be very deadly if they make their team attractive in a couple of years.
Yep. So,
but right now, next season, not worried.
So, moving on. The Penguins, they did some things. And they dumped a modest contract for Calhoun. I don't even know who the hell that is. And they also traded. That's what I'm looking for. That's the word. They traded Phil the Thrill to Arizona for Galchenyuk.
I'm getting a Phil Kessel jersey from Arizona. One of the old jerseys. Like the
Kachina jerseys.
If they make a
shirt,
I'm not gonna get a jersey because they're expensive. But I will get a shirt, a Kachina shirt of Kessel if that exists.
That's fair. That's fair.
That is a sexy jersey to see Phil Kessel in.
Yeah, and that it is. It would be nice. And I think that's an upgrade for the Penguins in the long run.
Yeah, you know? But
if they re-sign him, because he's only signed through this year, so.
Dev put it down a good point. They're beatable. The Penguins no longer are the powerhouse they once were.
No, I mean, with Matt Murray in that, you don't know if it's going to be which Matt Murray you're going to get. Are you going to get the cup run Matt Murray? You're just going to get the guy that played last year who was
Their defense is awful.
Yeah.
And their forward core, I mean, it's still Crosby and Malky. Malky.
Still Ooh. Crosby and good old Malky. Evgeny Malky, boys. They got Gensie and Hornfisky. And
they just need to get Tuca in there. Tuukka Rask.
And listen,
they still have a deadly forward core because they have those two guys, but their defense is trash. Their goalie, you're right, you never know what you're gonna get with Matt Murray, so they're not scared. They don't scare.
The rest of the Metro didn't really do a ton. Carolina did like a few things, but nothing to like be overly excited about. Columbus signed Nyquist. I didn't even know that they signed Nyquist.
I feel bad for Columbus.
I know.
It just goes to show that nobody wants to go to Ohio except for apparently Gustav Nyquist.
True.
Thank you. So let's just...
I feel like that's probably the most they were going to... Like, he was going to get from a team. That's why he went to
Columbus. Yeah. Yeah, 5.5 for Nyquist.
And clearly Columbus had the money.
Well, they have nobody else. they have Corpus Allo as their goalie now. The Islanders signed Varlamov because they lost Lehner.
I mentioned this before we recorded, but I'll obviously mention it now. That's actually a sneaky good signing. I mean, we're talking about all the other good signings from, the rest of the teams in the Metro. I kind of forgot about Varlamov. That's sneaky good.
Yep. So moving around the league, we're just going to go over some signings. Bobrovsky signed with Florida for 7 years, $10 million AAV. Pavelski to Dallas for 3 years, $7 million AAV. Duchesne to Nashville, 7 years for $8 million. Nyquist, I said, to Columbus, 4 years, 5.5. Zuccarello to Minnesota, 5 years, $6 million a year. And then Tyler Myers to Vancouver, 5 years, $6 million.
At least the Flyers aren't paying them.
That's correct. So we gotta go a little bit faster here, but we want to talk about contracts and like around that that cost for Kevin Hayes. You got Duchesne, or sorry, Pavelski. I want to talk about first at $7 million. The reason why he got $7 million because he's older. He's looking for a team that could possibly win this year, and that's Dallas. Dallas can certainly do that, especially if Ben Bishop plays the caliber.
I mean, he was also looking for money too.
Yeah, everybody was freaking out about Duchesne only getting $8 million in Nashville, but the thing you have to remember is that Tennessee, there is no income tax, so he doesn't need to make as much to make the equivalent. Does that make
sense? Not only that, he wanted to go to Nashville.
That is also true.
He's been shopping houses in Nashville. Like that was a very easy contract for Nashville.
Yep.
I will say, however, and I just thought of this randomly, and maybe this is the life isn't fair thing, but I also think that should the NHL compensate for the fact that some teams just have no state income tax?
No.
I do feel like that sometimes, like...
No, because Canadian teams have to pay in Canadian dollars.
That's fair.
Regardless of
I was just a curious thought. I mean, it doesn't matter to me either way. I'm just
right.
Because
kind of throw that out there.
It's an unfair advantage for one set of team, like one team, to have a different standard to the other. I get it, but I feel like it's such a huge can of worms. How do you regulate
that? Yeah, how do you write that? All for the life isn't fair motto too.
You can't regulate it because like if you're an American playing in like Toronto, you're losing 30 cents to the dollar when you exchange it.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point. I just wanted to throw that out there, but it honestly doesn't matter to me.
However, if you're a Canadian playing in America, you're gaining 30 cents to a dollar when you exchange it, so good for them.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to go over a couple trades real quick. Chicago acquired Calvin DeHaan from Carolina for, trash. Carolina then acquired Eric Halla from Vegas for a sandwich. The Sabres acquired Colin Miller from Vegas for some picks. And then the biggest trade in the offseason so far is Colorado acquired Kadri and, like, stuff from Toronto for Tyson Barrie and Alex Kerfoot. Kerfoot has re-signed with Toronto. So that's a big move for Toronto.
Well, they're trying to free up cap space. So
free up cap space, get better defensively.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good move.
I mean, Kadri was always going to leave. But yeah, I mean, it's a fine move. Frees up cap space.
Yeah.
And it'll be worth it if they can get they can re-sign Marner.
Yeah. You know who's still really hurting right now for cap?
Mm.
Vegas.
Are they still over?
They're still over. They were not prepared for the cap not to be $83 million.
Yeah. they'll figure it out, you know.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. Yeah, their projected cap hit right now is $85 million.
I actually made a point the other day on Twitter because we see all these trades that you have going on for trash, for a sandwich, for whatever.
Yeah.
PK Subban got traded for pretty much nothing. But it brings another, like, a valuable asset to the table, and that's cap space. So many teams will trade big contracts for nothing to open up cap space.
Yep.
The thing with Nashville, they didn't just trade PK Subban for nothing just to get, like, just for because they wanted what the Devils were selling them. They wanted to get that contract off the books so they can now sign Duchesne. And that's what's valuable to them. I made a point on Twitter saying, you know, it would be interesting to see what these quote-unquote superstar players go for in a no-cap league because somebody like Subban would bring in a lot more than he got. And I'm not advocating for a no-cap league. I'm just curious as to what those trades would look like. Because I think, a cap league brings a level of fairness to it.
Parity.
And
a little
parity,
yeah.
Exactly.
Kush, you just love chaos, dude.
I love it so much. But I'm not advocating for this one. I'm not advocating for this one.
I swear.
I just would like to see what happened. But I'm not necessarily advocating because I do like how cap space now becomes a valuable asset. And teams can use that going in, like the Devils did, going into a trade like that and say, okay, we have this that we can give you, but you're after cap space. And we
and
can
also
give you
keeps
that.
It keeps the players kind of in check, too, a little bit. Like
a little bit, yeah.
You can't. But you're definitely the guy that goes into NHL GM mode, turns off cap space, turns off offsides.
See, GMO is too boring for me.
Oh,
I'm the guy who turns off offsides. Hey.
Oh, boy. We can open up that can of worms again, or...
We're already, like, reaching the end.
Move it on.
Yeah, so we got an email, boys. Buddy Cust, longtime listener. Thanks for sending us the emails. The big thing was that he absolutely loved the debate on the rules last podcast. And he's got some input and some questions. So first, he was reading through the rule book, like a nerd like myself, like me, like Drew, and came across his favorite rule, arguing with the ref. Now, there's like five or six, you know, different things, like banging the boards, profane language, you know, basically just unsportsmanlike conduct, that kind of things. But one specifically says, any player who challenges or disputes an official can receive a minor penalty. And so he asks, now, I know they don't call this a lot, but is there a reason for it? And the reason is just to keep a hold of the game, but you got to let a player voice his opinion. You know, if you throw a guy in a box every single time he questions something, well, guess what? 18 players are going to be sitting in a box on either side of the team.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing you get. I mean, first game you start enforcing that rule, you'll get that. And I think eventually over time, players would, I guess, calm down. But that would suck because, A, I love chaos. B, how is this rule, like, actually written? Is it says, like, is it may receive or does get one?
I'm sure it's – I actually don't have the rule in front of me. I know.
Because I actually like the disparity on this. Like, you know, I'm a guy who likes consistency in rules, and I guess something like this is a little inconsistent.
I think it comes down to
how far is too far before they give a minor penalty. But
it depends on the use, like what kind of profanity they're using. Because obviously they let F-bombs go like a lot. But like if you're using derogatory terms, if you're going over the top with things, if you're just like if you get warned and you don't stop, because there's a lot of warnings that go on. I'm sure.
I like that part of the NHL that players can voice their opinions. I like
that firsthand. I just realized that we witnessed that rule being used firsthand at a Mansley game
by one of the guys in this podcast. Kush told a ref to get the fuck out of my face, and then got an additional two.
I got an additional 2 minutes for that.
Yeah.
Literally, he would not leave me alone. I was in the box at that point. I was like, "Oh, fine, I slashed a dude. Whatever, you got me in here." And he kept trying to like ask me why I was mad. And I'm just like, "Cause I'm mad. Leave me the fuck." He's like, "Okay, fine."
Yeah, so that was interesting. Yeah, no, it comes down to the referee's judgment. It's basically, it's there to keep the game from getting out of control, and it's not there to overly police things. Because if it's like he said, where technically a guy can be like, that wasn't me, you can get a penalty, technically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and that would, I feel like, it takes an element out of the game of hockey that I like. I do like that players can voice their opinions.
Right, it's not like the NBA where you go like, what the fuck, teed up, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like... the rule's only there to, you know, you have the rule there just in case somebody takes it too far, and then you could be like, all right, well, that's a penalty.
It's the let's not start a riot type of thing.
Exactly.
I'm fine with the inconsistency.
Yeah, because it's not really ever called that much.
It might be the only rule in the NHL that actually is useful and smart.
Yeah, because every time I see when they call it, it's unsportsmanlike conduct conduct. Whenever that's been called, typically I haven't been mad about those calls.
No, usually it's deserved.
I'm sure if you scroll through my Twitter, it might say otherwise.
Sure.
But typically, if I see one of those calls, I'm just like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So this next one, now luckily we have a goalie in on this episode of the pod, and that being myself. No, being Paulie.
I was about to say, toot your own horn.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a goalie, as I'm a minor inconvenience for the puck going into the net.
I filled in for a game.
Yeah, did you finish that game?
Nah.
Exactly.
I ran out of oxygen.
Yeah.
That's a hard position. I do not envy that position.
Yeah, imagine being my size and doing it. All right, so Cust then writes, second, I was always curious about line changes. So we know that normal players line change all the time. But what happens if the goalie has the line change during the middle of the play before a stoppage? Well, it did happen like a long time ago in like the late 80s, early 90s with the Penguins. They did that, and the reason why it doesn't happen is because you're bringing in a fresh goalie on the fly. You're wearing out your goalie by having him hustle to the boards and then having the next guy hustle, and it just doesn't happen because there's...
Yeah, and then, like, mid-line change, if the puck gets turned over and then the guy's looking at an empty net, like...
Yeah, it's an odd rule. It makes sense that it's there because why shouldn't goalies be allowed to change? But, Paulie, if you and George were dressed for a game and you started and I said, Paulie, change him up! How would you feel about that?
I'd love that. Chaos. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, I was waiting for you right up Coach Alley.
That reminds me of the one time that we were playing. We're taking a face-off in the offensive zone. There's 8 seconds left in the second period.
It's the third. It was the third. It was the third period. It was the third period because we went to overtime. We went to overtime. The game was tied. To overtime. I tried to push for the game-winning goal. Right,
well, either way, it was tied.
We lose?
But you never told us.
I told Delisa.
I turn around. I'm like, the net's empty? Like, what is he doing?
He should have won the face-off. We wouldn't have had an issue.
yeah, win every single time. I would have maybe, you know, focused just a tad bit more if I knew we didn't have a freaking goalie.
Yeah, so then...
You went for the Dougie P, like, oh, no, we go for it on fourth down.
Oh, yeah.
All
yeah.
of a sudden, it's like, oh, shit.
Everything was fine. We won an overtime, I think, or a shootout or something like that. It was fine. I lost my train of thought now because you got me all...
Yeah, you were saying something important.
All into stuff. I know. I know.
Just keep trying to read.
Yeah, it's something about goalies and stuff like that. Don't change or modify. It's just weird. Although, yeah. If a goalie's got a shit, like, just wait for the stoppage and change at the stoppage. Like, there's no reason.
You
want
to talk about Luongo for a second?
No. he retired. Good for him. I owe Devin $5.
Yeah, see. And you were also wrong.
Nah, I'm never wrong.
We got to focus on that part.
Nope. So, I still predicted Stanley Cup champion at the end of the offseason.
You didn't predict Luongo retiring, so...
Oh, okay. Mm. You know, technically, if he comes out of retirement and plays one game, I still win the bet.
Yeah, do you think that's happening?
Nope. No, I do not think that. Anyways, moving on. He then writes, third, I was curious as if they were actually allowed to review an icing call. No, they're not. They're allowed to discuss it and
Please
reverse
God,
it.
No.
They're allowed to discuss, like the refs and linesmen are allowed to discuss it and reverse it, but that's about it. There's no video review or anything like that.
Can you imagine if there's video reviews for icing calls? Every time there'd be an icing, they'd be like, "Oh, we gotta video review this."
Oh God, I would lose my mind.
Like I'm fine. Like I think Dev brought this up the other week, but I'm fine with like if a ref gets a call wrong or something like that. I'm fine with the chaos that ensues afterwards, and it's so much better than sitting through a 5-minute video review.
Human error is okay sometimes, unless it's intent to blow the whistle. Then it's always wrong. And then he says, last, what do you guys think about the rule on kicking the puck in the net? Personally, I think whoever the puck goes in off of whatever the deflection of the stick or body piece or whatever, if it's in front of the net and the defender has your stick tied down and you kick it in, I don't see why that can't be a goal, as long as you're not throwing a fastball at the goalie with your hands, LOL. if you want to watch somebody kick something in a net, watch soccer.
I was just about to say, did he write this email, like, after a goal was disallowed in a game with him, or...
See, I feel like the goals that go off skates, they are very lenient with it. Like it has to be a obvious
kicking motion. Yeah,
and I'm fine with that. I'm also fine. Like I kind of saw it, you know, when I first read that. I'm like, maybe they should allow, you know, kicks because that's more goals. But you know, Jordan, when we were talking before, brought up a great point that it is kind of a safety issue, I guess, if you have guys like, you know,
with these razor blades on their feet,
yeah,
throwing it in the air.
I don't know. I can kind of go either or on that rule, but the way it is right now, it's actually one of the few rules that gets kind of called correctly. I won't say 100%, but most of the time, it stands as a goal unless it's an obvious kick.
Remember the playoffs a couple years ago when was it Brian Bickle for Chicago headbutted the puck in?
See, I would have loved for that to count.
I thought it was gonna count at first, and then I was like, well, I mean, he directed it in. With not a stick, but that was funny. So
that was amazing.
It was so funny. Amazing.
It was labeled. I remember it was labeled the greatest goal that never existed.
It was so.
That
it was
didn't
an,
count or
it was an overtime. They ended up winning the game anyways, but it was just.
It was such a good goal.
It was so funny. I remember watching that live, like, oh my god, I don't know what's about to happen.
For shit like that.
That's chaos. That's cool.
Yeah, that is.
Although
amazing.
It is pretty dumb to just start headbutting everything.
But I don't think how often would that happen, you know?
So I will say this: I was playing a roller hockey game after that goal was disallowed, and go figure, a puck went up in the air. It was like a pop fly, right in front of the net, and I went and headbutt the puck in, and the ref waved it off right away. No goal.
It's like, I've seen this one before.
It was like just like one series ago. I was like, oh, I can't get away with it. But yeah, you wouldn't think it happened often, but it happened twice.
Yeah, he definitely was watching that series. If he didn't watch that series, he'd be like, whoa, I don't know. I guess.
That's exactly how men's league roller hockey works.
Yeah.
That's why I could never make it at a ref, because every time the puck would go in the net, I'd be like, go,
chaos.
I would actually love to see Kush as a ref.
It would not be pretty, I guarantee you.
I wouldn't, because if he was reffing a game that I'd play, I'd get a penalty for nothing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know what? You're terrible. You'd kick me out of the game if I was coaching.
But me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you create chaos. You'd be creating chaos.
It's true. I do
yelling at me the whole time.
Hey, I'm proud of the fact that I've never gotten kicked out of the game. I've come close, though. Yeah. I'm dying. Lastly, he says, you guys made awesome points about all the rules and changes that could possibly be made. I 100% agree with the intent.
Load early.
Yeah, I know.
I know where it's coming in.
He then says, I 100% agree with the intent to blow the whistle, Drew, on how they need to just use what's on their hand and blow. All refs should be good at blowing anyways. There it is. He then says, either way, I think Dalt makes a great point. Dalt, we rehearsed this. Let's try it again from the top. He says, I think Dalt makes a great point.
It's not happening.
All right. About offsides, it should be called, especially from a defensive standpoint. Kush,
because you
offsides,
need it.
Offsides needs to happen, Kush.
You need it.
Okay, A, I have a rebuttal for this. Because he
don't
says,
review it. Don't review it. But just you need it. Like, admit you need it.
He then says, I think once you take it out, you're basically playing roller hockey and it's no longer dump and chase. And for the check back check what? And the four check back check hockey.
Where's our editor?
I think I just had a stroke. And chase four check back check hockey will ruin the game and cause three dudes to just be sitting at the other face off dots before it's even in their zone.
Two rebuttals to this.
Okay,
one, dump and chase hockey sucks ass. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dalt.
Dump and chase hockey isn't fun. That you're right about. It's not fun. But it's not fun and exciting to watch.
It's a strategy, but I've watched the Flyers for the past 5 years overuse it.
Yeah, but You watched a bad example. That's the problem.
Yeah, if you watch good forechecking teams, if you watch good forechecking teams, like, oh, that's how it should be done. But when you got the Flyers saying, oh, you got to get pucks in deep there, bud. You got to get pucks in deep, get pucks on net. And then
they dump and chase.
They don't win the puck battle, so what's the fucking point? Do something different.
When you watch good quality hockey teams, yeah, there are teams that move the puck.
Maybe that's my problem.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're watching the wrong product.
Yeah, I'm just so used to the boring lifestyle of being a Flyers fan, but there is a right way to do it, and I get that it's not a fun way of hockey, but it's what's your
that sounds like an old guy. Like, it might not be the fun way, but it's the right way.
All right, just
say that. There's nothing wrong with a good breakout and good passing.
I love flow and like Russian, old Russian style hockey, where North Americans were like beating the shit out of each other, and the Russians were just skating by everybody. Like, that has its place. Obviously, it has a great, it's beautiful to watch. What's what makes hockey beautiful? But you need to have the ground and pound, the gritty players to get in deep and get pucks in deep and bang the boards
I'm not saying get rid of those guys. But utilize them differently. Okay. My other point was that he says you'll have three dudes just be sitting at the other face-off dots, but no professional coach would just say, okay, You and you, just wait at the other end of the ice. We're going to play a guy or two down in the defensive.
They wouldn't be standing there, but you would definitely have – there would be cherry picking going
you'd
on.
Have, you'd have, you'd have, in a professional league, you'd have guys cheating a little bit. I know this because in roller hockey, I cheat a little bit.
Little.
But it's fun, and you can't deny that. But have you ever seen an example where we were like, all right, Kush, you're just going to wait in the – offensive zone, and we're gonna play yes. down a man in the defensive zone.
I've done that.
No, you've told me to wait at the red line.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Other end of the ice.
That's true.
No. There's a huge difference between what you can get away with on the professional level and what I mean you see in rec leagues and stuff like that. But no, I think if you were to get rid of it entirely, you would definitely see different strategies and play styles of, all right, there's going to be a guy entering the zone just behind, like jumping the defense basically to try and split passes. It would just be tough. It would just be tough for the defense. That's all it would be. It would be really hard for
defense.
Like, as far as, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it would be.
It would be awful.
That could be dumb.
See, I love it though, because we're both looking at it from different standpoints. You're looking at it from the defensive standpoint, which obviously, all size helps that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it from the forward standpoint and the chaotic.
No, You're looking for chaos. You're not looking
also,
for.
No, that's also from a goalie standpoint as well. Because talk to any goalie, I'm sure they would approve.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure like 90% of the goalies say bring back the two line pass. We have those long ass stretch passes.
Oh, no. Screw that.
Well, that's the problem, though.
I'll
we're not
going to
go
don't
backwards.
Think
sides.
Nothing's going to go backwards. So whatever change is probably going to be the new standard.
Yeah, but I don't think that offsides realistically will ever get removed. But I do love how it was brought up in the GM meeting. They said they had a brief discussion on it. So probably somebody – one of the GMs is like
– fatter. I see them making like you only need – part they, of your body, like I see
they need to adjust it.
Yeah,
they obviously need to adjust it. But it, apparently, the removal of offsides was brought up in the GM meeting. I can almost imagine one of the GMs is like, "What if we just remove it?" And then Gary Bettman was like, "Why don't you shut the fuck up?" And that was the discussion.
Well, I would like to thank Cuss for bringing us down that rabbit hole again.
I will always revisit that rabbit hole. My favorite.
Cuss, thank you for sending in your email. We do appreciate it. It gives us a little bit more to talk about. You know, for the rest of you out there, if you do want us to read the emails and answer questions, apparently I can talk today very well. You
yeah,
can send
check
us an
back,
email.
Check
yeah, yeah, before check back check something check hockey. You can send us emails to wizwithockey@gmail.com. I think that's all we've got for today.
Yeah, that wraps it up. It was a good pod, good off-season
yeah,
pod.
We did some good stuff, you know. Again, congratulations to Devin on his baby boy, beautiful baby boy. And yeah, thank you, Dalton and Paulie for coming in and giving us some other people to talk to other than just me and Ryan, because I'm sure that would be entertaining.
This was a borderline train wreck.
It's chaotic. I love it.
Kush is like, how do we get one more guest on here?
If it was not the Kush, we'd have like 12 guests at one
too
time.
Much. You'd have people talking over each other, and I'd probably be sitting here. I'd be sitting here on my phone the whole time. So
you were sending Snapchats during this one.
I did. I'm glad you got
it. I was like, what the hell is this? Like, we're recording you. Anyway, almost forgot to say goodbye, everybody. So, yeah, emails, you can send us to wizwithhockey@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @wiz_wit_hockey. You can follow myself @TheBigDrew92. You can follow Ryan at his new Twitter handle, @SauceBoyKush. Just did that so he can mess with me. You can follow @DottyBoy13. You can follow Paulie @ItMePaulie with some underscores in between the it and the me and the Paulie. I forgot about that part.
Whew.
I know, a lot of words. But yeah, I've been Drew. He's been Kush.
Yeah. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I had something to say.
This is our 24th. How do you forget that I'm going to say this, and then you're going to have something to say afterwards?
Like, to be fair, usually go to Dev first.
Is so Dev here?
Thanks, Dev, for having a kid and screwing us up.
he's been Dalt.
You know, I just... if you get rid of offsides and
no, we're not doing
check,
this.
Forecheck, the back, all that stuff. I'm gonna be upset.
he's been falling.
Drew, how was your skiing trip?
It was great. I gotta go. I can't do this anymore.
Beautiful way to end it.